Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying
what you cannot do. Mm-hmm. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't kill you, makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. This is Continue for Truth Radio, the American Sovereignty Radio Show with Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, Dan Wilson down in the great state of Florida, and Scott Osborne, that would be me, here in Dallas, Texas, actually Mesquite, loving the Texas life. Got my straw hat on with my Sid Miller stickers on it. Just got back from a Tea Party meeting. Had a great time. Got to meet Michael Quinn Sullivan of Empower Texans and Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, a powerhouse in the state of Texas. Great guy I've had a lot of interaction with, and finally got to shake his hand and speak to him face-to-face. Was a great, great thing. Had a great time. Found out, Jennifer Montrose, you're going to be a little bit jealous here. Here in September at the Kaufman County PT Party, I'll be there, and so will the great Sheriff Arpaio. So looking forward to that. You'll be hearing a lot about that. We'll be keeping that on the radar here in Texas. Texas, all the fun things. I'm so glad that I live in the number one business state in the United States and not 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, Dan Wilson. I got to throw that at you. We are going to have a great show tonight, folks. We got some great things going on. We've got Dustin Stockman on tonight to talk about him, about the work that he's done. He's got a great history behind him, and especially his work with the Western Representation Pact. He's, I'll tell you, doing some hard work. We like to point out people that are really, really working hard. He's got a great story. Got some funny things going on here in Texas, guys. Big story breaking that you'll be seeing a lot about this next week. I have a little hint that it is going to go to JoeForAmerica.com. But we got the DPS, which is our safety service here in the great state of Texas, has decided that the DMV was going to start collecting everybody's fingerprints. And that whistleblower just came out on that in the last few days. You will be hearing a lot about that. And some other great things going on here. But without any further ado, we're going to go right into our guest. Dustin Stockman has been around about 3 years now, working really, really hard in politics. He's a self-described rebel, and he really sat down and he looked at the way things were going, and he didn't like it. It's right from his own website. It's a story of a stubborn American who refused to give up, and we like that. So we're going to have Dustin come on and tell a little bit about himself and a little bit about the PAC, and as well as some of the other work that he's doing. And Jennifer Montrose, I'm going to pass it to you. I'm going to foreclude our regular opening remarks. We're just going to bring Dustin right in. I'm going to pass it to you, Jennifer, to introduce Dustin and bring him in, and then we'll start our roundtable discussion.
Thank you, Scott. Welcome, everyone, to American Sovereignty Radio tonight. We have a great guest. I would like to say that, you know, I've been really impressed. What short time that I've gotten to get to know Dustin Stockman. Going around the country and interviewing candidates in various states, I know that he's had an opportunity to go to Colorado. He's been in Mississippi. He's been in Louisiana, you know, in a lot of different places, you know, and I'm looking forward to hearing him tell some of those stories, especially what's going on in Louisiana, because I know that's a really hotbed race right now, trying to unseat Mary Landrieu. You know, one of the things that I think is important that people tend to forget is the importance of the grassroots. You know, we have seen a lot happen since we've seen a lot happen since 2011, when everybody was gearing up for the 2012 presidential race, and I think we have a lot of things that we could learn from that time if we would only take the opportunity to listen to what the grassroots activists are saying out there and what's been going on. I think so many times we miss other candidates, because if you're not raising enough money or if you don't have some video that goes viral, you know, you may be a really, really good candidate, but you get missed in the midst of everything, and we lose an opportunity to really have an opportunity to get to know and possibly even elect some really good, you know, people in state Senate, U.S. Senate, House, U.S. House, and that sort of thing. So, but with that, enough about my rant. I would like to bring in Dustin Stockton and let him share a little bit about what got him interested in politics to begin with and share his little story. Dustin?
Hi, Jennifer. Well, thank you. And you could rant all night. I could listen to that on and on, because you're right. And I'll touch on a couple of the things you talked about in a moment, especially about money in politics and whether or not the best candidate wins in every race. I definitely want to get back to that if I can. I'll be pretty brief about my introduction. My whole life got turned upside down during the housing collapse in 2008. I had not only bought a new house in the second hardest hit housing market in the country, but I worked at the job driving a forklift at a plumbing supply warehouse that was also dependent on new construction in order to keep their business plan and their budget going. And so I watched the workforce, the guys I worked with, I watched them one by one lose their job. One by one, I watched my neighbors' homes being foreclosed on. Eventually, 14 of the 22 homes on my street would be foreclosed on in an 18-month period, and I got angry about it. I feel that my money was taken from me, my big break in life, and that, you know, they stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from me. I watched the value of my home that I bought for $330,000 dropped to below $145,000. And that was my big break in life. And, you know, I didn't take the government way out, the government assistance way out. You know, I had to pay it off, eventually get out and downgrade. But eventually it upturned my whole life. And so for the first time, I really decided that I need to take a look at how something like this was able to happen. And where it eventually led me was to corrupt political machines in both parties, Democrats and Republicans, and their crony deals where they're empowering people who aren't even doing the people's work. They are literally stealing our wealth and our children's futures in order to, in a vain attempt to satisfy their insatiable greed. And so I started going after them. I started right there in my home state with Harry Reid. I started a political action committee with my dad called the Western Representation Pact. We had no money and no political connections, but we had a desire to do something good. And, you know, we prayed for guidance, and I believe in divine intervention. I believe that I was helped out numerous spots along the way. But where it eventually led me was to being a full-time professional Tea Party activist. I helped create two very large groups. I've been involved in dozens of races all over the country. I've organized more than 100 rallies and probably spoken at more than 200. So I've gone around. I've tried to inspire and motivate as many people as I can to get involved. I don't pretend to have all the answers for people, but I believe that the more people that we get to get up off the couch and go to their school board meeting or their state legislature meeting or their write their congressman or get in touch with their congressman or go to one of their congressman's events, the more that we show people what's happening in the government, the less scary it seems, because I'm sure you guys can relate to this. As soon as you start paying attention, you realize how inept most of these people are. And so,
well, exactly. And, you know, that's what this is all about. You know, and Dustin, that's why we do this show, because we all feel the exact same way. We've sat and watched our friends, their homes. We have watched all kinds of situations happen. And I'm going to have you talk a little bit more about the pack. I do want to bring in our other host, Dan Wilson. He's down there in the middle of a monsoon, folks. So he's got a little bit of ticking on the lines. It sounds like a little bit of water has gotten into the lines. So we've had him on mute. So we want to unmute him and put his 2 cents worth into this. Go ahead, Dan Wilson.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our show. And like you, I saw this nation starting to fall apart, and I had to get involved. I've been a patriot since the day I was born, and seeing what was going on, I couldn't sit there and be quiet. So during the Herman Cain campaign, Scott, Jennifer, myself, and a group of other people, we got involved and started really working in the grassroots movement. And I am so pleased to see how well it has been working recently and how we're really, we have the rhinos on the, there's scared me out of the wits. And I see us getting rid of them in the relatively near future. And now is the time where really we have to take back our country. We have to bring God back in. I'm a very religious person, and I believe that one of the reasons for our demise has been the removal of God. People have forgotten that our nation was founded on religious freedom, and we're seeing that taken away from us by the moment. And today, I mean, they just fired, what was it, something like 400 chaplains out of the U.S. military. And that's, I mean, when you start doing something like that, something's wrong. And we are not allowed to, unless you're Muslim, we are not even allowed to mention our religion outside our own home. And they're trying to take our weapons away. They're trying to take really the foundation of this nation. Everything that has meant to, you know, the most to us, they're trying to take away. I was listening to Mark Levin today, and they were talking about the history test to get into college. They did not mention one of our founding fathers, with the exception of Washington's final address to Congress. And when they came down to the Civil War, they barely mentioned Lincoln. They didn't even mention his assassination. And they are going through history, creating a facade, you know, that instead of telling the truth. Being a history, out of all of us, I'm the history fan. Well, Scott and I are. We always talk about the summer of 1787. And when they were writing the Constitution, it was Franklin who sat down and addressed Congress asking for a moment of prayer led by one of the clergy every day before the start of the meetings during the Constitutional Convention. Once they started doing that, everything came together, and our nation started, our Constitution, it began to get put together. And after that, it was our belief in God right up through the 60s. We had that belief. And our country was doing well. And this administration has just ripped it apart. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add to that what I really see missing among those lines is the kind of discussion about the things that the founders took and spent intellectual time thinking about, which is natural rights and where they come from. And, you know, we're on American Sovereignty Radio, and our Constitution says that we're, you know, endowed by our Creator, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But those words are found and based on the philosophy of Locke, which is life, liberty, and property. And so it's those rights from God, and it's only before we understand that our rights come from our Creator and can't be taken away from us by an entity, that we start to turn back the tide on the tyranny. So many of the fights we get in, it can feel like we're just fighting for the scraps while we're ignoring the big battles over rights that they're trying to take from us, including the Second Amendment, right, which is I believe that I have the right to determine what kind of artillery and gear I need to protect myself. And really, it's none of the government's business. And once you understand and have that belief in the Creator and the rights that He blessed us with, only then do you start to realize how much tyranny we already accept in our day-to-day lives.
Well, so very true. And Dan and I do go often back to that summer of 1787 because those men understood that the federal government cannot micromanage. And that whole document was written to limit government. It wasn't designed ever to limit the individual. And we've gotten so far away from that. Dustin, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about the PAC. Give us the social media places we can go to help support that and the website, so on and so forth. And exactly what are you guys doing with the PAC and what do you see in the future?
All right, so I'm going to kind of go on a little bit of a winding explanation because thanks to McCain-Feingold campaign finance laws, all money spent, raised and spent on politics is forced through this convoluted system. They force us to jump through all these hoops in order to exercise our First Amendment rights. In the hopes that we'll get frustrated and give up with the absurd complexity of their ridiculous little systems. So we keep fighting through and we do our best to stay within the ridiculous and constantly changing rules they put in front of us. So the Political Action Committee, we started it. All told, I think we've raised and spent about $2.5 million putting together Tea Party events and helping Tea Party candidates. I believe that we have the reason that our movement has been so successful, in spite of the fact that our opponents have outspent us in nearly every race by at least a ratio of 10 to 1. The reason we've had this success is because we've been adaptable. And so my PAC specialized in bringing people together digitally, specifically through Facebook and email. Bringing them together and then using them to collaborate, using the great mind, energy, and shared resources of a large number of people, assign them to do really incredible things, give them projects to do. So we've done things like the, sponsored the first ever Twitter presidential debate, of which Mr. Cain did, was one of the participants. I think every major candidate except Romney participated. We used it to put the Unity Rally together in Texas or in Tampa during the convention. And what we do is we bring people together and we create a system to communicate with them regularly. And it's been a learning experience. I wasn't an expert when I started this. And so, we've by trial and error, we've learned how many times we're allowed to email people and how many times before people get fed up and throw us to the spam folder. Because no one's ever accused me of lacking exuberance, and sometimes not everybody is just as exuberant as we are. And so coordinating and collaborating is a difficult process. And so what we do is we bring people together on the grassroots level. We encourage them to do things like make their own radio ads and then give them some money to put them on the air. Because, again, my whole philosophy with government is based around regular people getting involved. I think that the fact that people don't get involved is because they feel overwhelmed looking at it. But once you get them into the system and make them feel comfortable, the whole system will benefit as large. Because I'm as pessimistic as I am about everything going on in the world, this is still America, and there's still real Americans all over this country. And I believe that as long as we put ourselves on a righteous path, we'll continue to move forward. So we go into these elections. We usually start by going in person and trying to meet a couple local organizers. We like to recruit people who've never organized anything before but have organizational skills maybe in their career. And so we're challenging people to do things they've never done. And our goal has been to build the activist base up. So first, first step of that is first we have to do stuff to get attention, to attract activists and people towards us. And then once we get them, we have to immediately start engaging with them and giving them projects. Projects have to be done in such a way that they feel a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? A sense of accomplishment. And we engage them with that. So we usually, right, we give them a small project to organize, usually a rally of some kind. We try to use our network that we've created to bring big names into people's rallies and events they put together. We put that together, then we collect that information, and then we start communicating with the voters that those people reached out to for us. And then we try to reinforce our messaging through geo-targeted online advertising. So I know it gets a little boring, but I wanted to bring something up to you guys. I think you guys will find this fascinating. But how one of the things that we're facing as grassroots organizers on the ground is that what we've done, what we were able to do is we didn't need to outspend our opponents to win. We just had to spend our money in more creative ways. Well, what we've seen is the establishment react to that angle from us. The way they've been doing it is the Chamber of Commerce and Karl Rove are now going into every media market and jacking up the price to the point where ads that we used to be able to run, let's say for $1,000, are now $25,000. And so we're completely priced out of the market. And so as grassroots organizers, we once again find ourselves having to figure out a new and creative ways to communicate and get our message out.
Well, exactly, and I'll tell you that we've seen that over and over again. Dan mentioned Herman Cain, and I'll tell you, Dustin, here's where the three of us come from. We watched the Cain campaign from the very, very beginning, especially Jennifer and I. When the Cain campaign, the Georgia office was bringing in less than $10,000 a month for a national campaign. But Herman Cain did something very, very special, and that was he gave us the Team Cain website, which basically, doing the same thing that you were doing, gave the people the ability to communicate with each other and to organize. And Herman Cain brought together a group of people that many, many of them, like myself, had never been really involved in politics. I've always voted. I've always debated politics with people who would sit down and talk with me. I've never been afraid to explain why I'm a conservative. But I'd never really gotten involved with a campaign. And one day I went to a video of Herman Cain, and I went, wow, I really like this guy. And I went to his website, and all of a sudden I was in the middle of Team Cain, and there was a chat room going on, and Teresa Bresky was there, and different people were there. We started communicating, and we got organized. And by organizing and by doing exactly what you just said, thinking out of the box and being creative with the money that was there, a team of about 150,000 people across the United States organized for Herman Cain. We started passing out business cards everywhere. We got on social media and started defending him in articles, in the comment sections of articles, doing things such as the Cain Train Convoy, led by Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. We did a whole lot of different things, thinking out of the box to help support this man. In fact, there was a time there where the campaign in Georgia had no clue as to what they had on their hands. Jamie Brazil took the job and turned around and found out there was all these people across the United States doing things. I was the California state leader for Team Cain. They went, well, where'd Scott Osborne come from? They had no clue as to what was going on. And we got in and we worked hard. And Michael Quinn Sullivan just addressed this at our Tea Party meeting. You know, we've got to get out and we've got to work hard. It's not always about the money. And so I just heavily, heavily praise you to what you're doing, because you're on the right road. It's exactly what we've got to do to win these elections. We are, as especially as Tea Party candidates, up against some of the hardest amounts of money you've ever seen, but we're winning. We see a Chris McDaniel win. I don't care if Thad Cochran got more votes than Chris McDaniel did. That's because they cheated with about 25,000 votes. We won that, and hugely, hugely inferior in the money race. David Bratt Eric Cantor, using a fraction, using as much money as Eric Cantor was using to buy stakes, basically, won that. And it goes to prove that it isn't just about the money. It's how we use the money, and it's how the people get organized on the ground. Jennifer, I'm going to pass it back to you for some more dialogue with Dustin. Hey, take it away.
It's interesting that you bring up Kane, because I know that Dustin was chief copywriter and a debate coach with the campaign. I know that had to have been some interesting times. I know that we experienced a lot of changes here in Alabama when Florida won the straw poll, especially with the Alabama State Republican Assembly, and we were able to announce that we swept the South with straw polls, had international and national media attention brought to the Bryant Conference Center. So, you know, one of the things that I would like to hear from you, Dustin, is what's some of the stories that you've been hearing and experiencing that you want to share with us on your travels around the country interviewing candidates. I know that you've had the opportunity to go into Louisiana and interview Manus. I'd like to hear some of your stories, if you have any particular ones that you would like to share.
Sure. I've had so many adventures, sometimes it's hard to pick just one. I will make one correction. I was with Newt at the time of the Florida stuff. I would eventually end up doing work with Mr. Kane and the things he was doing. But no, the thing is, when you talk about the Kane campaign, when I hear Scott, when I hear you talk about it, I hear an excitement and a passion and enthusiasm that fires me up. And so often, I think people, when they think of politics, they don't think of the excitement we just heard from Scott, right, of having that sense of accomplishment, going out and doing some work and meeting other people who feel the same way, because really it's such an empowering moment. And for me, it happened at the first big Tea Party rally I went to. That moment you realize how many people actually share your concerns and your beliefs. And so guys like Mr. Kane who are willing to go outside of the box, it's the current political system makes it really difficult. I'll share a couple stories of why. Mr. Kane's a perfect example, which is the thing I love about Mr. Kane is if he'll say it in private, he'll say it in public. And so they asked him, what are you going to do? You know, do you know who the president of such and such a place is? And he said, you know, I don't know who that is, and I would have an advisor who would tell me who it is. He said it in a funny way, and yet he was vilified. They took that moment, and they ran it over and over and over again to destroy him, on top of bringing up, you know, allegations from a multi-million-dollar company that he's running with thousands of employees. The thing that you see with these guys over and over and over again is that if they're willing to go outside the box, they can excite people. But that willingness to take risks often leads to the kind of campaign gaffe moment that the media uses to destroy us. And so one of the things I think that it's important for us to realize is that we want to encourage people to take risks, and that means just like in a free market system, we have to give people the room to fail and start over. And one of the things I love is that as much as they try to tear us down, we can turn it to make us stronger because so many of us have been on the losing end of their nonsense at this point. And Sarah Palin's a perfect example. They go to tear her down constantly. Now, in current races around the country, the Senate is up for play, and I think it's critical that we have a Republican majority. Even though I'm really down on the establishment Republican and the party infrastructure, it's really important to put the opposition party in charge of the houses of Congress so that we can put a check on the would-be dictator that's sitting there now. I at this point, I am wholly convinced that this president is aiding and abetting our foreign enemies in order to speed the destruction of our nation. And so at this point, the most we can hope for to start out with is to put in enough people so that at least he can't do any more damage. Rule number one when you find yourself in a hole is to stop digging. The way we can do that is by electing Republicans. But not just any Republicans. And Louisiana is a perfect example of a case where you have a grassroots guy in Colonel Rob Manis with a stellar record. He's saying all the right things. He clearly understands the liberty agenda and is supportive of guys like Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz running against another Republican who has basically unlimited money. The last I checked, it was somewhere in the range of $5 million, Bill Cassidy. He's been around for a long time, and he has lots of friends in the energy business, because Louisiana is a big energy state, who are reliant on getting one, either he or Mary Landrieu elected, to keep the money flowing. And then you have one guy who's running in order to stop the nonsense. Problem is that he's going to face, he's already, I will say, Colonel Manis has raised over $1 million, which is quite impressive for somebody running a grassroots campaign. But he's going to face attacks from both the establishment Republicans and the establishment, or I guess they're really all establishment, Democrats. And so he's going to have to build this by meeting people, shaking hands, and spreading the word. And he's going to need support of people like us. And so I'm going to go in. What my goal is to fill in any gaps. If there's any skill I have or technique I've seen used in another campaign that I think would be effective, I'm going to do my best to offer that up to him because I think he's the right person to elect in that seat. I think that if we can expand our coalition inside the Congress, that at some point when we reach the breaking point, most of the things that we've been saying and the policies that we've been producing will be given a second opportunity to be seen by people. And so it can be extremely frustrating as activists now trying to explain to people for the first time just how awful things are. But by doing the work and saying it on social media and making people see it now, when eventually we're forced to face the consequences of our teenage drama queen president, I think that the effort we put in explaining it to people now will be very worth it. Other races to watch around the country, Arkansas, Alaska, but again, all of these places, we're being forced to adapt on the fly because the price of all advertising has gone up so much. And so that makes it very difficult for us. They've also started to use other techniques to take us down. I mean, I never imagined that I'd be receiving letters from the IRS demanding to know who my donors are. Never in a million years did I think that not only would we be facing off against our ideological opponents, but we'd be facing off against the instruments of government like the IRS and the justice system. And they throw, I've seen many of the people I grew up with get thrown in jail for much, much less than a number of things I could list off for Lois Lerner or Eric Holder or President Obama himself, Hillary Clinton. You just go through them, Janet Reno. I think we need to start putting these people on trial. I think they need to face 12 of their peers inside a courtroom and have their day in court. But I think that things have gotten to the point that they have, that the executive branch needs to be hauled into the judicial branch to answer to the American people. And I don't know if we're ready for that yet, but my goal is to meet enough people that it's eventually a swing of the tide. It doesn't take much. The revolution, one of my favorite facts, is how few people actually participated in the beginning. You know, it takes courage to stand up and be the lone voice. They've tried to teach us and drill into our heads that politics is taboo, and you have to reject that. And what you guys do with this radio show and the work, especially that I've seen from Jennifer Montrose, that's exactly the kind of thing that's going to turn the tide. And it's really, it's just a blessing to be a part of it and to be here talking to you guys.
Well, you know, one thing I will say, you know, I have another dear friend of ours that I talk to often, and we've talked about how it seems like now, especially in the conservative movement, if you don't have money, you don't get anywhere. You know, and when one of the things that I learned a valuable lesson on is with Herman Cain is we had, when no name recognition was out there and he didn't have campaign money to be able to afford at that time to really do a lot, the grassroots movement got together and we got creative and we did a lot, you know, and I today I think, like in District 6 of Alabama, and by the way, Gary Palmer is now has run the runoff against Paul DeMarco. Paul DeMarco was considered, in my opinion, to be the establishment candidate. Tea Party got behind Gary Palmer and the candidate, Tom Bunnell, who I was supporting, that didn't make it, through his support and endorsement for Gary Palmer. So congratulations on that. And Jim Ziegler won state auditor. He won that one in the runoff as well. And we have John Merrill, who is now our won the runoff for Secretary of State. So enough of the Alabama announcement so far. But anyway, the main thing is I wanted to say is that a lot of people kept saying with Tom Bunnell was that I would have supported you had you had the money. You didn't have the money to be able to do radio and TV and all that stuff. You got a really good, solid candidate, been attacked, you know, Frederick Douglass Republican, totally embraced, you know, the original core values of the Republican Party, you know, but because, you know, nobody wanted to give him enough time to get his, you know, couldn't raise enough money. And we see that happening all across the United States. You've got really good candidates that are out there that if we were able to give them an opportunity to have their name be known about and heard, which I think is wonderful what you're doing, Dustin, you know, interviewing these candidates, especially those that are not, you know, getting the recognition from, you know, the people that they need. You know, you look at what's going on down in Mississippi right now with the McDaniel versus Cochran race, you know, and that to me should get people angry enough and fired up to want to get off the couch and go do something and make a difference and go vote, you know. You know, people are just fed up. And I know we've got this stuff going on with, you know, if you don't like what's happening in your state with the elected officials that are in there, then you need to get off your duff and go do something. And I've said one day we're going to wake up like they did in World War II. We're going to wake up and we're going to be screaming, they lied to us, just like those people did in Poland when they walked across and looked at the, you know, when the concentration camps were finally open for people to see, you know. And I'm afraid that of what's going to happen, you know. And I believe, you know, if they're looking for the less progressive, I don't even want to call them Democrats because I think it goes even further than that, but they are doing their best with media propaganda and the race stating and all that stuff to really take those low-information voters with all the images that they're putting out there, and they're trying to do everything they can to destroy us. And then we've got our people on the inside in our own party that have aligned with them behind the scenes.
Yep.
That are making
working to sabotage us. Yeah,
and
no, smiling in our faces and then working behind our back to destroy whatever we're trying to build.
I mean, you know, and I have heard on so many different occasions from candidates around where candidates have said that I know that we have a man in the party that's running and, you know, and trying to identify who it is in their camp, you know. Scott, I'll put it back to you.
Well, and I wanted to say, there's a couple of ways you can listen to the show. Of course, in archive, many people are listening in archive. We get most of our listeners actually not live, but in archive. If you're listening live right now, you're listening one of two ways. You are either listening to the Internet, or you are listening by calling in to 347-205-9620. We do have a caller that is in there in the listening. Caller from the 845 area, we want to let you know if you would like to speak on the show and talk to Dustin or ask a question or one of the hosts, go ahead and press 1 and we'll know that you would like to do that. Otherwise, we will be glad to leave you alone and let you just listen. You know, and I want to pass this on down to Dan. I got to just amen everything you said. I want to send it out a big congratulations to Jim Zig Ziglar for winning that race. I'll tell you, Jennifer, I would have had a hard time if I had been down living in Alabama. I wouldn't have known who to vote for. I love Dale Peterson a lot, and I love Jim Zig Ziglar a lot. I've got huge respect for both of them. And it was a well-fought race, clean-fought race. Still huge respect for them. But want to give a big shout-out to Jim Zig Ziglar on his win for that. You know, speaking of people working hard, Dan Wilson is down in Florida and working hard in his own way. And Dan does a lot of writing. We want to mention, we want to give a shout-out that his writing, his articles go on to the Pundit Press, punditpress.com. Dan Butcher, president, has also rebroadcast in archive almost all of our shows here on Contending for Truth Radio, including this one each week, and you can also reach it live from Pundit Press at punditpressradio.com. And so we want to give a big shout-out to that. But Dan Wilson, you're down there fighting the fight by writing. And you are a prolific writer. I would hate to have a chat with you where I had to debate with you because I know you type about 5 times as fast as I do. But I want to throw it to Dan to add him into the conversation and chat a little bit with Dustin. Dan?
Well, Justin, I congratulate you for going out there, and I wish I could be there along with you. It's my heart that keeps me from going out in the street and fighting the fight. Right now I'm on the heart transplant list, so I'm grounded. So I'm using my fingers to spread the word. And what we need, what's going on with the groups like the Pundit and Press, it's allowing us to reach millions of people. I think the Pundit and Press reaches out to around 7 million people. And what we need to encourage is the information we're spreading to these other people is to take that information and get on the street and start spreading the word. It's so important that, people really understand the position we're in right now and what's going on in this country. How many times, this administration has snuffed their nose at our Constitution. I mean, right now, I think with Obama, we're up to, 23 separate counts that he could be impeached on. And
at least.
At least. I mean, there's so many different, Holder, if people told the truth about Holder, Hillary Clinton, nobody knows about Extortion 17.
Yep.
These are things.
And those are our Navy SEALs.
Exactly. We had the writer of who interviewed Billy Vaughn on the show, and to hear a father talking about his son and how he was sacrificed for no reason is heart-wrenching. And these are the stories we need to get out, is we need, to really let everybody know why we're in this position, where it came from and what they're trying to do.
Right.
And, you know, when I was, my question to you is, you know, how are we getting that word out? And, you know, how are we really telling the world, the rest of our country, what's truly going on? I mean, we're doing our best here, but we're only reaching, what, 10% maybe at best.
Yep.
You know,
so, I think it's a great point, and I think it's something that each of us who are doing important work need to keep in mind each day, which is there's an interesting dynamic in informing, bringing people to the truth, because the separation between reality and the false narrative that's repeated in nearly every major venue is so great that we run the risk of, if we lay too much on people too quickly, of being completely delegitimized in their eyes. And so what I've found is that I have never had more fun in my life than when I'm hanging out with people who are working to build things, who are working to do things, who have a project, who have a mission. I call it mission-driven living. And I've never had more fun in my life than actually building and putting things together with other activists. And I think it's the enthusiasm that I hear in your voice. It's the enthusiasm that I get from Jennifer all the time, and the enthusiasm I hear in your voice, Scott, that we need in order to attract people, in order to earn the credibility necessary to tell them what's really going on. And so it's an interesting dynamic how we do that. We have to be constantly wary of not being so pessimistic about the terrible things that we're aware of and that people aren't aware of, that we no longer seem attractive as a place where people can do two things simultaneously, which is have fun and do something important. I think the American people, a lot of times we unfairly characterize them as the low information voter. While a lot of them maybe not don't have the information, they've been trained to look for the information in the wrong place. And we shouldn't be condescending to them. I remember when I started in 2008, just how naive I was about how our system of government works. And so if we can be relatable, and if we take the road, not that we know more than these people, but that we've had the opportunity to see things that they haven't been exposed to, and we've come up with fun ways to get together with each other to do things that are productive and constructive, then we've put ourselves in the position where people will flock to us, whereas if we're just constantly, and I realize that this is necessary, we have to, at the same time, though, be very realistic about what's going on. I believe that we're on the world looks an awful lot like it did before both World War I and World War II, with major geopolitical shifts happening and potentially boiling points everywhere. I think that any day our world could be turned upside down with another terrorist attack. And so we have to be constantly on guard. And our opponents are the most sinister, psychopathic, Machiavellian people in the history of man. There is no manipulation, dirty trick, or tactic that they won't utilize in order to undermine or sabotage our efforts. We have to remain loyal to each other. We have to give each other room to make mistakes. So often what kills me about the movement is seeing the competitiveness in our personalities. We leaders of the movement, not to collaborate with one another, not to share what's working and what's not working. I believe that not only do we have to talk about correct principles, we have to start building them without the help of the government. I'm a firm believer that we need to give people hands up, not hands out. And the way we do that, I think, is by supporting projects in our own community. And there's a lot of really exciting new ways to do that. And so if we want to get the message out, we need to engage with people in their language and on their terms. We can't both demand that they listen to us and be berated or be made. We have to make sure that the feeling they get is educational, that it's not lecturing, it's discussion. And those things are challenges that we face and things that we can learn from other recent, limited government movements. The Libertarian Party is a great example. They're right on a ton of issues. The problem is, with a lot, and I see this with the Ron Paul folks, is how condescending they are to anybody who dares have a different thought than they do. And so while we have to stand on our principles, we cannot waver. We have to constantly go back to the principles because that's where it's broken. Our system has been so badly corrupted that our only hope is to go back to the foundation, and that foundation is in the law and in the Constitution, and it's written in words that all of us can understand, whereas the law, to me, I go back to the words of James Madison and Thomas Jefferson before the Revolution, which is, once law becomes so complicated it can't be understood by man, we are no longer obliged to abide by laws that we can't understand. I'm paraphrasing that. Our tax code is something like 90,000 pages long. It's millions of words, and it's written in a language that only a handful of elitists understand. And to me, the only authority of the government comes from we the people. They're asking me to abide to a whole bunch of contractual obligations that I never agreed to, that my parents never agreed to, and that we would never agree to. And so at some point, we have a responsibility as citizens of the world, as free people, to stand up to it and to fight it in every way we can. And with things so ugly, we all have to think about what happens when the S hits the fan, as we like to say. But at the same time, we all, when that day comes, I want to be able to look at my family and look at my friends and look at the people and say that I did everything in my power from the moment I saw, from the moment I knew what was going to happen, I did everything I could to find the peaceful solution. Because at the end of the day, the real goal has to be to pass freedom, peace, and prosperity onto our kids and their kids.
Oh, I agree with you. The one thing I keep on telling people is the Occam's razor theory, keep it simple.
Yep.
And keep everything is, don't try to talk over people, but try to talk at their level or, if anything, even a little below so that they can understand what we're trying to relay. And the second thing is we got it to our leaders here. We got to stop with this competitiveness amongst ourselves. I mean, personally, I'm getting a little bit older, and, I don't care about becoming a leader or anything like that within the movement. Frankly, I'm really looking forward to a margarita in Key West. And, that's my future. So I don't really have a desire.
Well, I'm going to be coming through Florida soon, so I'll have a margarita with you.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Because it's, but it's true that, what we got to do is tell our leaders, is, you know, this isn't a competition amongst ourselves. Let's just go with the flow, throw in our information, and work together and stop this competitive nonsense. I mean, you know, what? You know, if you want to have bragging rights, you know, go to the local bar. I mean, but otherwise, you know, we got a job to do. And
yeah,
if we don't...
It's sharing information. It's sharing what's working for us. I mean, that's what makes us powerful, is that we appreciate communication and what free speech actually stands for. And our strength comes from sharing that info. So I couldn't agree with you more on that point.
I mean,
now,
this...
Well, I just want to say, one of the things I think that we got to remember is, you know, that the word Republican, the word conservative, the word Tea Party has been tainted. From the day when they were taking those little picture frames and putting Martin Luther King with the president in the same, you know, on the same picture.
Yeah.
You know, the people that don't know how to read look at all those pictures and they see, you know, especially when you go into minority-majority districts, you know, people that don't. So they're going to come at us thinking that, you know, the minute that we tell them we're Republican or conservative, they're going to think, you know, that we're the enemy. So how do we get the message across without being condescending? You know, and I find it rather insulting that members of the Republican Party in Mississippi went out and gave $15 to get people to vote in our primary and knowing that they're going to go back and vote in their own after they're done, you know, destroying ours. And this is not reaching across the railroad tracks to the other side and trying to inform those voters, to inform those voters and give them the information that when you go to the Democratic website, for those that can read, and we have a lot of people on the left that do read, but there are some that don't, but when it says 200 years ago, the Democratic Party was champion of civil rights, that is a lie.
Yep.
But they were still fighting to keep slavery alive. You know, and, you know, but so it is imperative, it's important, you know, that not only do we need to vet our candidates, but one of the things I think we're so bad at is behind the closed doors, we do things behind the doors. We get angry. We come out and we say, if you don't play the way that I want you to, then I'm going to take my toys and go home. You know, we burn bridges so that long after, you know, I have to wonder, you know, like here in Alabama, you know, we have the Gang of Four with a candidate that was running, Dr. Mathis, and he had these Gang of Four ads, and after he lost terribly, you know, did he totally burn a bridge for himself that he will never be able to do anything in politics again? And maybe the guy had really good ideas, you know, and could really benefit, you know, the cause as a whole. And then we've got some people that say, well, I'm only a Tea Partier. I won't be a part of the GOP. You know, if the last person is standing, you know, and so I think it's wonderful what you're doing, Dustin. You know, I know Anita Moncrief is doing a lot with the Black Conservative Fund, you know, to try to reach across the aisle, you know, and we're finding out that there are really wonderful conservatives all across the, you know.
The political spectrum.
Diane, I'll turn it over to you.
So, Jeffra, I couldn't agree more. I think that finding common ground with Democrats and with regular citizens who identify with Democrats, who have no idea what that actually means in practice, I think that's critical. I'm actually going to, if you guys don't mind, I want to share a prediction with you. And it's something I firmly believe in. I've been planning my strategy with the expectation that this will happen. So I'd love to get you guys' feedback and see if you agree with me. I believe that I've gone around, I've talked to enough Democrats without them knowing that I'm a big Tea Party guy, to know that there is broad disillusionment with Barack Obama. In fact, I would say it's the same level of disillusionment that I felt personally in the last years of George W. Bush when he said things like, we have to bail out the free market in order to save the free market, right, which was clearly against the ideals and principles that we had elected George Bush twice for. I'm seeing that with Barack Obama. I'm seeing a lot of people who still, right, that they're remaining loyal to Obama because they cast their vote for him, and they took their sides in the big political spectacle that we call a presidential election. But that disillusionment is a seed, and I believe that we'll see that seed just about the same way that we saw the Tea Party erupt on the right and start to challenge establishment Republican candidates. I believe that right after Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or, please God, Andrew Cuomo gets trounced by whatever Republican we nominate for president, I think what you're going to see is an uprising on the left. And I think if we position ourselves properly, they're going to be challenging some of these Democrats that, frankly, a Republican will never be. There are certain districts in this country, and I learned this the hard way, by trying to go into San Francisco and Massachusetts against Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi, that will simply just not elect a Republican ever because they've been tainted, because the reputation has been tainted by, you know, certain people within the movement, because the media is aligned against us, by cunning propagandistic campaigns to subvert our message. They've done a really effective job of that. Destroying that part of our message, but we're able to overcome, and the reason we're able to do it is because of the way we're able to communicate. And I think that it's coming together like this, having these kind of conversations, and then working with each other, giving ourselves room to have one thing I see lacking, and I often grow frustrated with, is I'm a firm believer that the only way to properly collaborate is to have an open creative process where people can take criticism and give criticism without it carrying over into other things. And frankly, with a lot of I see struggle with that. But the actual process of collaboration is an amazing thing. And so if we do that and we show excitement and we show enthusiasm, I think not only can we win over, the base conservatives, people who already agree with us, I think there's a room for us to go when these people finally start waking up, not to say I told you so, but instead to say, yeah, the clowns were doing it to us. You know, I got scammed by these clowns. Help me fight against them, and maybe we can rework the traditional political coalitions of the Democrats and the Republicans, create something brand new and healthy, because that kind of broad political change is healthy. The change of a would-be dictator of what Barack Obama is trying to do to this country is the false promises of a false prophet.
Oh, amen.
That's my prediction. Democrats, right after 2016, have an internal revolt and start upsetting a bunch of people that we can't go in and defeat with Republicans. And I think we should be there to offer them support.
Well, and I agree. And I'll tell you, I'm seeing it, especially here in Texas. We're watching the effects of Battleground Texas coming in and very, very hugely miscalculating. Battleground Texas came in and just expected they were going to play the Democratic far-left playbook. And the thing is about Texas Democrats is Texas Democrats are conservative for the most part. In fact, the black vote here is conservative. The Hispanic vote here is conservative, especially in the South. And with Wendy Davis and Battleground Texas, they came in to turn Rec Texas more blue, and they've actually accomplished the task of turning it a little bit more red. Wendy Davis and the Democrats had about a third of the voters show up. That the Republicans did in that first primary when we first got here. In fact, she got less votes down there in southern Texas in the Hispanic districts than the Democrats have gotten in about 25 years here in Texas. They don't fall for it. And I'm seeing all kinds of things. You know, we got Obamacare. We've got all kinds of people getting letters in the mail saying that all of a sudden telling people that they weren't really happy with the health care they had and that it was being dropped. And all kinds of stuff. The stuff that's going on the border right now, right and left are opposed to it. It has become a nonpartisan issue, basically, here in Texas. Common Core, another huge one. The Democrats do not like Common Core. We're seeing some of these issues, and I just have to agree with you there on that one. I'm really glad that you brought up the tax code, Dustin. I've been a purveyor of the concept of redistributing the tax code. I think what we should do is we should have a great big bonfire and invite everybody and let the government buy some marshmallows and let everybody have a great big marshmallow fest as we burn that tax code that is incredibly it's crazy. It's absolutely insane how it's gotten as far as it has gotten.
Yep.
And, we've just passed the top of the hour. We want to remind everybody that this is Continuing for Truth Radio, American Sovereignty Radio Show. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 347-205-9620 and speak with any of the callers. You know, another thing that you hit on, Dustin, and then I'm going to pass it back to you, that's very important, we talk a lot about here, is the basics, getting back to the basics. We got a friend down there in Alabama named K. Carl Smith and the Frederick Douglass Republicans. And K. Carl literally, he converts about 80% of the Democrats that he talks to because he goes straight back to basic issues and why we believe what we believe. He goes back and uses Frederick Douglass, who said, "I'm a die-in-the-wool Republican." And we go back to some basic foundational issues. You know, I admire the Founding Fathers, and I respect the Constitution. That is something everybody can agree on. That Constitution was designed to protect us from an overreaching federal government, and history bears out that if you give the federal government too much power, it always turns into a tyranny. I respect life, and I consider it precious. I believe in limited government, and I believe it's necessary to maintain freedom and liberty, and I believe that unlimited government always ends in dependency and bondage. I believe that fostering economic growth by encouraging personal responsibility and our entrepreneurial spirit is better than government-created dependency. And those are some of the basics, and we can go back on many of the issues we discuss and try and go back to the basics. The left always wants to take us out of the basics. If we want to have a discussion about abortion, they don't want us to have a discussion about personal responsibility. They don't want to have a discussion about whether that is a life or not. Where do they take the discussion? They take the discussion straight to the concept and the discussion of rape. If we go to have a discussion about the Second Amendment, they don't want to talk about shall not be infringed. They want to talk about guns that shoot off 100 million bullets that nobody even has hardly. When we take the people back to the basics, that is where the discussion is always won. And so kudos to that. With that, I'm going to pass it back to you, Dustin. When you're done, I'll pass it back around to Jennifer to have some more conversation with you, and then we'll unmute Dan again. Dan's ticking seems to be going away. He says that monsoon is just about over him. We want to make sure, Dan, you've got that boat. Make sure you've got it set up out there in case you have to jump in it. Dustin, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, so I'm really glad that you brought up outreach because I think that so many people spend so much money doing nothing but talking to each other in an isolated bubble of like-minded people. They get together for conventions every month And you know, they speak amongst themselves, and they spend a lot of money recruiting people who think like they do. And for good reason, because, you know, you need to, the bigger coalition of like-minded people that you can create, the larger accomplishments and projects you can take on. But with outreach, I think a lot of times we forget some of the traditional campaigns have forgotten their basic manners. Which is when you go to somebody's house or you go to somebody's community or you go to somebody's neighborhood that you don't know, be polite. Bring a gift with you. And maintain your presence. Republicans forever, and when I go speak with Hispanics or other minority voters, I hear the same thing, which is once every 2 or 4 years or so, some white guys come around and tell us what we should think. And then they pack up and they leave, and we don't hear from them again until the next election. Whereas Democrats go in and they hire somebody in each of these communities. That person opens an office, helps them solve their day-to-day problems, is available as part of the community, helps them do things like constituency outreach that aren't partisan, and build loyalty that way. And so if we're ever really going to change the tide of that, the way to do it is to go and participate in their community. And what I've found is that they're receptive to it, which is, you know, the poor minorities suffer under the yoke of big government more than anybody. They're the ones being thrown in prison for ridiculous crimes. They're the ones who live outside the law. I've often said about immigration that the way I like to tackle it, what I like to tell people who are arguing in favor of giving amnesty to illegal immigrants, is be careful. They should be careful what they wish for, because the government wants to come in and pay attention to all their lives. I'm not so sure that after spending 10 years being naturalized, being, you know, looked at closely by the government, having to abide by all the rules that I have to abide by if I start a business, OSHA and taxes and compliance and on and on and on for sustainability, Agenda 21, right? Once they start having to deal with all that, I'm not convinced that they're going to remain Democrats as long as we're the ones going into their community, helping them build what they can build, accomplish what they can accomplish, and going in with the attitude of inviting the legal amongst them to join our community. And I think that that's going to be another thing it's another thing I hear a lot about how the demographics are changing. And we heard, Scott, you talked about this happening in Texas, which is those demographics are not locked in stone. Political cycles and political parties and political movements, they come and go. And so we have the opportunity to go in these communities because freedom is something that every heart craves. Freedom and liberty is the natural state of man, and anything else feels uncomfortable to us. I believe that's in our nature. And so I look at every person as a potential friend and a potential voter, and I give people the opportunity to show me otherwise, and they rarely do.
Exactly. And before I pass it to Jennifer, I just want to insert this. I always insert this. I do this show from my garage, and I look out back. And Dustin, I used to live out in the country in California, but now I live in a neighborhood. And I see all these rooftops. And I know that if I walked into 100 of those homes and had a discussion about basic fundamental principles that we believe in, about 80% of those people would agree with me. But if I walked into those same 100 homes and asked them what is Benghazi, many of them would reply, well, is that an Italian dessert? They don't know what's going on, and it is our outreach. We've got to get out. We've got to quit singing to the choir, and we've got to get out and speak to the people, as Kay Carl says, when you're in the barber's chair. Speak to the people when you're in line at the grocery store. Talk to your neighbors, and talk about politics. We've been told for decades the two things you're not supposed to talk about, politics and religion. That's a far-left concept. We're supposed to talk about those things. We're supposed to be engaged. And if it's when we get out and we start engaging with those people, we will start changing minds and hearts, because the majority of the American people believe in what we agree in. Every time that the far left has been polled over the last decade that I've seen a poll, it's been anywhere most of the time between 10 and 12%. I have seen some polls here recently. I think Barack Obama's even driving the far left away, where they make up 5%. And the conservatives are consistently at about 60, 65%, and those that believe they're moderate, they believe they're in the middle, make up the rest. And so it's up to us to get out and do like you're doing with Western Representative PAC, as Kay Carl's doing, all of these different groups, as well as ourselves, to get out and talk about these issues and explain where we're going. You know, we've got three steps to the sales process. I used to teach sales. You got to sell yourself, you got to sell your problem, you got to sell your solution. What is our problem right now? Our problem is where this administration is leading us, and the left has outlined their goals. You don't have to read very far in their writings to figure out exactly where they want to take us. It is not where they make all kinds of wonderful promises. All we got to do is look at their goals. Sell that problem, explain to them what's going on, and then sell them solution. The solution is we get back to the rule of law. We get back to our Constitution. We get back to protecting our freedoms, and we get back to a government that leaves Americans alone, lets them do their thing because they've always made the right decision. That's what makes it a great country. That's why people are trying to get in here. They're not doing it to any other country in the world trying to enter like they do the great United States of America. So with that, Jennifer Montrose, I will pass it over to you.
You know, this has been a really great show tonight. You know, just various things that we've talked about from A to Z that all speak to liberty and freedom. You know, the things that our founding fathers, you know, fought so hard for. You know, the things that Frederick Douglass, you know, as a runaway slave, he fought. You know, he went out there and did what he could to make a difference. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I like to go out when I'm at events with my son around his middle school classmates and parents and stuff. You know, I'll bring up the subject of Common Core. I'll talk about what's going on in my community, what's happening in my own precinct, what's happening, you know, with our own county commission and stuff. You know, engage people in conversation. And, you know, because when I hear people say that, you know, I have a problem with the book that my son brought home, that he's got to required reading for the summer, you know, when I hear somebody say that, you know, that's an opportunity for me to educate and inform people, you know, and there's just a lot that I think that we can do, and we don't realize that it doesn't cost a lot of money to do some of these things. When you put together a coffee club, we talked about, you know, having a ladies' coffee club where we get together and talk about what's going on in our community and what can we do, you know, to make a difference and reach out, you know. Our Women Republican Federated here in Tuscaloosa County, we bought pocket constitutions, and we gave every student in the fifth grade in our county a pocket constitution, and we gave two lesson plan books to each teacher. And we had an essay where the students were required to write an essay on the Constitution, and the student that won got their name for a whole month on an electronic billboard. And, you know, just those kinds of things, you would think, especially when we've got, you know, so much right now that's trying to take the true nature of our history away from our children. And, you know, when they took Schoolhouse Rock off of television on Saturday mornings, you know, that just, and so much that we have now is so much the opposite of what we as a nation were brought up to be. And, you know, I really commend you, Dustin, for what you're doing. I've been watching in Mississippi. I've been following. I've been tweeting out what's going on with the Cochran and McDaniels race. And I see a group of citizens that are banding together, that are unifying, to try to get to the truth. And I think if we were able to take that same kind of enthusiasm and tenacity all across the United States, we could stop voter fraud in so many places, you know, and we would inspire people to want to vote their values. You know, you go to church and the preacher talks about, you know, abortion is a sin, but yet you go to the polls and you vote for somebody who totally supports Planned Parenthood. You know, you're not voting the way that you say that you believe on the inside. People don't connect the dots there, and it takes those of us that have that knowledge without being condescending to go out there. And, you know, I know that's what you're out there you're doing as well, Dustin, and utilizing your efforts and the money that you've raised to try to make a difference. Pass it on to you.
No, so for me, it boils down to something I found very useful in my life. I think my parents passed it on to me. But it's, if you want people to listen, let them talk. And so I think we have to approach people with an open mind and allow them to challenge even the things we believe very firmly in, because those discussions will refine our arguments. I truly, to my core, believe that our message, the things that we're fighting for, is the natural state of man. It's the way that we're supposed to experience this life without the oppression of tyrants and madmen. And so if we listen to people and we give them the room to challenge us, and we show them how you can actually collaborate to accomplish things. When I see what a small group of people can do, 20 people who agree to pool their resources and talents together to do something, when I look at what they're able to accomplish, and then I compare that to what the government must have in confiscating, you know, more than 60% of every dollar of every person in every city, I realize how ineffective they are and how much we're really just fighting the things that keep us as regular people divided, or really we're fighting over the scraps while a handful of Machiavellian chess masters take the vast lion's share of what should be our public money. I'm not an anarchist. I believe in having a simple government that we can all understand and that we all as people can agree to. And I think that message is universal. And I just want to commend you guys, the activists, the people who put the time in. It's the people who keep practicing and keep gaining skills and keep pushing to network who are going to change the world. And I really believe that. I'm inspired to do what I do, and doing things like this and having conversations like this renews my faith in what we're doing. And I know we're not always right, and I know we don't always make the right decisions, and I never expect that of everybody. I believe in second chances. I believe our nation's the greatest nation in the history of man because of redemption. And I believe everybody can be redeemed. In a variety of different methods. And I think once we put ourselves to that path, to righting injustices in the world, I believe that's what we're here to do. I believe that's what the great promise of this nation is, which is to free every man. And whether that I don't believe that means going around the whole world and demanding they do it, but showing through our example what free and collaborative and peaceful people can accomplish. I believe that's how we eventually win. I believe it's you guys who are spreading the message to make that happen. I'm grateful to do it. I unfortunately have to run. I have another call to jump on, but I just wanted to say and thank each one of you individually. Hopefully, along my travels all across this country, I'll get the chance to meet each one of you face-to-face. Shake your hand and express my gratitude, and keep up the good work.
Well, and we want to thank you, Dustin, for coming on, spending your time, giving us some information and great discussion. Be sure to come to Dallas, Texas. But I have to warn you, if you come to Dallas, Texas, you might never want to leave again. Anyways, but we do. We want to thank you. It's been a great discussion. We've covered a lot of really important topics, and we really basically covered the most important that we always go back to, and that's sharing information and getting out and working and networking and fighting this fight. I always look to Phyllis Schlafly as my hero. She was doing what we do now without Facebook, Twitter, or the internet, and she'd been doing it for decades. And the left has really always been really good at networking. We're just catching up. So we're going to give you all the support we can. If there's anything you need, you just let us know, Dustin. Jennifer Montrose, great discussion. We enjoyed every minute of that. We talked about a lot of things that that we talk about on this show from a different perspective, from somebody who's put together I'll tell you, I give it to Dustin, because if you ever, anybody ever came to me and said put together a pack, you'd see is my elbows as they were running back and forth down the street. It's a lot of work. Like you said, you know, you've got, all of a sudden you involve the IRS. That's why we don't. Folks, one of the reasons why we don't do ads on Continue for Truth Radio and start getting into the money, we do what we do out of the goodness of our heart. It costs a whole $40 a month for us to do all of this, and it's one of the reasons why I don't. I don't want the IRS coming in and telling me I want to see who your donors are. I want to see who your people are. But we keep going. So with that, I'll pass it to you, Jennifer, and then Jennifer, I'll let you pass it to Dan.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, this has been a great show tonight. You know, I think that it's you know, time that we do our part, you know, to get out there, as I've said before, and make a difference. I would really like to thank everyone that's been listening tonight. You know, Alabama, for everybody that fought a good fight. You know, Dale Peterson is a wonderful friend of mine, Kathy Peterson, great friends. You know, I was glad to see that the races that won were able to win tonight. I know that we had some people that were fighting hard for one or the other. You know, and I'm glad to see that for Joanne Sellers, that's Jonathan Barbie's wife, she won state exec committee for Tuscaloosa County, which is an awesome thing, you know. But, you know, the important thing to remember here is we need to get busy and start encouraging people to go out and vote, because I'm hearing so many people say, tired. I don't feel like my vote counts. I don't think that it matters. There's too much corruption, you know, and you look at what's going on in Mississippi, and, you know, I can understand why people ask that question, you know. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dan.
I agree. I think, you know, tonight's discussion was really, really informative, and, you know, the key to this entire thing is to get the word out. Keep it simple. I was raised when I was younger, you know, by my father, who told me that a person who really understands any given topic, it is the one who can explain it in the simplest terms is the one who understands it the most. And I've lived my life by that. Keep it simple, stupid. I love that term. And because you can reach more people. Personally, I use my personality. I'm a, you know, the laughing type, that, you know, in the bar and wherever I go, I'm always in a jovial mood. And when I start talking politics, I go into it from that perspective. You know, I mean, I've found out that Democrats and Republicans alike, nobody likes Obama right now. So I'm utilizing that for our side. And then I'll start talking about some of the things like Benghazi, Extortion 17, and some of the horrible things that have gone on. And I said, and I tell them how they've been hidden from us. And, then I kind of ease them into the idea that I'm a Republican, because I don't open up and say, yeah, I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican, yada, yada, yada. I go from a history point of view, and I say, somebody I admire is Frederick Douglass. And I said, do you know who he is? And then I explain who he is. And I said, this is why I'm a Republican. After I describe what this man did and what this man accomplished, I said, this is the best representation of what our nation was built on, is the ability for everybody to reach for the stars. And I said, I don't believe the government will allow us to do that. I say, leave it to us, the people, and we can reach for the stars without the help of the government. We can do it on our own. And this is how I kind of set the seed and get them to try to get out of the mindset of the big government and get them into the mindset of being able to, support a group who wants less government so we have the freedom to achieve what we want to achieve. And I always say, then I kind of jokingly say, if you want to screw something up, give it to the government. And they laugh, I laugh, and that's my approach, is keep it, so both sides are, both sides agree, and we aren't getting into a debate about, politics. Instead, I'm approaching it from something that everybody agrees on. Everybody agrees the government screws up everything. I mean, that's guaranteed. I mean, they could mess up anything. And this is how I bring my, argument, is by showing what government can't do. And, bringing it in on an argument where nobody is going to disagree. Everybody agrees the government is lame. And I'm not just talking Democrat. I said, I'm talking Republican too, which is true. And by doing so, I'm reaching out to more and more people. And hopefully, I plant enough of a seed that it'll grow and maybe one day we can get them to see the light. And with that, I'm passing it back to you, Scott. Static free.
Well, exactly.
And, you know, I'm, of course, I'm going to hear, oh, you know, well, hey, the ticking stopped, Dan.
All right.
Happened? You know what? It only ticks when you're talking. You know, Blog Talk's an amazing technology. And basically it picks up when we're talking is when it picks up our voice and it kind of mutes everyone else. That's why it doesn't always work real well. It's kind of funky when we start to talk over each other a little bit. It's not like we're all on open mics. The computer doesn't exactly know to listen to, and it kind of sounds round robin. But anyways, you know, and what you said, Dan, was so important. And you know, we heard the same thing from Rich Lowry on the Conover U Show last week. You know, you can always start with certain things, and you can open up dialogue. I'll tell you one that I like to use a lot, especially if you're dealing with somebody that really doesn't know politics. Here's the level of argument I give them. I just think you're smarter than your government is. And I've had a few people that have been defending their position to vote as Democrats and not knowing why for decades look at me dumbfounded and not say anything, and have four or five people around them go, checkmate. And then, you know, it takes you into a discussion. It's a real simple discussion. And basically, Dustin said the same thing you and I say a lot, Dan. Why are they trying to break in here? Why are those people swimming that 90 miles of infested shark-infested waters between Cuba and your state down there, Florida, to get here from Cuba? Why are they crossing the Rio Grande? Why are they coming up from South America in droves? It's to come to this great nation. Well, how did this great nation become a great nation? How did it become the place where everybody wants to be? It's really, really simple. It wasn't government that built this. I hate to tell you this, Barack Obama, but government didn't build it. The people built it. We did build it, and we made it great, and it's a wonderful place, and we've got freedom and liberty and prosperity. And let me tell you, folks, we're still sitting in the middle of a financial crisis, basically. But look around. As bad as things are, they are still really, really good next to the rest of the world. We're still living good. We still have too much to eat. We still got enough food that we throw away. That doesn't mean there isn't some poverty in this nation, and we feel for those that don't have any, and we feel for those that we've got people that are living on the streets. Some of them have the ability to get off the streets and don't decide not to. Some of them really have ended up there because of bad luck in life. But we've got the greatest nation in the world, and you can go to any other country and see a whole lot more poverty than you ever even think about seeing in this great nation. And it's why people like to come here. And we want to talk a little bit about what's coming up on Contending for Truth Radio, and then we'll go into our closing remarks. We've got Thursday, we've got the Conover U Show, and we have got a guest we've had on this show. We've got Michael Dreikorn down there in your neck of the woods. Dan, down there below you a little bit, I believe, Fort Myers. And Michael
right.
is running for state senate, and we like him a lot. We've had him on this show. He's done a great job when he's come on this show. I've had a lot of conversation with him in the background, and I'm a firm believer in Michael Dreikorn. And it really, really helps that our good friend Ken Brolin just went to work for Michael last week as his campaign manager, so we give him an extra boost for that. We're going to have him on Conover U this next Thursday, talking about his campaign and what's going on, and hopefully Ken Brolin will come on and speak with us also. As a campaign manager, he finds it a little bit more pressing to get on Blog Talk Radio and talk with us. Always had a hard time getting my good buddy to come on and talk, but he's been more willing as a campaign manager for Frank Scatura and for Rodney Lee Conover, so we're excited about that. As well, each week on Conover U, we have Joe Willisbacher, also known as Joe the Plumber, coming on. He comes on each week at the beginning and chats with us a little bit. Enjoying getting to know him. It's quite a bit of fun. He's a very, very smart man. Of course, we can look at Barack Obama. He's been a dismal failure. He's even been a dismal failure to the left. A lot of the things the left really wanted to get, he hasn't even given them. But he, one thing he succeeded at, he made Joe the Plumber a household name. And we always enjoy having him on the show, as well as the other guests. We do have Ladies Bible Class coming up this Friday, 12:30 Texas time. We're going to continue wandering through the Old Testament. And then, of course, Saturday, we've got Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Dan and I get up in the morning and sometimes just barely open our eyes and start talking on the radio. We have a great time. As Dan said, we talk a lot about history. A lot about things of the past and why this great nation works. And we've had some great guests on that show. We'd encourage everybody also go to punditpress.com and check out Dan's articles and check out the archives of our shows and all the other great shows. Went on Josh Berenstein's show last week and had an absolutely great time. I got into Blog Talk Radio being a guest. I was a guest on a Herman Cain show up in Wisconsin by Steve Williams and Bob Green and Larry Butkus, and had such a great time. The following week, I started out as a co-host on Cain Coast to Coast. I've been a host ever since. It was rather interesting to go back on and be a guest. And Josh and I had a great time. You can go to joshberenstein.com and find his shows there. And you can find all his shows at Pundit Press, as well as the others, Exceptional Conservative, by Kenneth McClinton and many others on that website. So we encourage you to go there. We'd also encourage you to go to Contending for Truth Radio on Facebook and like our page. We want to start building up those likes again. We overcome this hurdle, but we need to really get those up really, really big, so we want to encourage you to do that. You can also find us on Twitter at C4T Radio. And with that, it was a great show. Jennifer Montrose, big kudos. You all always seem to find us some incredibly good guests. I was really excited to talk to Dustin. We will have to have him on again. And with that, I will pass it to you and Dan, and then I'll let you pass it to Dan, and we will come back up at the top and close out the show.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of great patriots out there, a lot of great activists that are doing a lot of good things. And, you know, like I said before, you know, we would love to be able to get more people out there and get them involved. You got stuff going on in your communities, in your own school districts, you know, in your own state, things that are not happening for you and you want to see changes, you know, get involved and find out what you can do. I think so many times we see people going like a mouse in a wheel, round and around, debating people on social media when we really... what people really want is to be seen, be touched, be heard, and to feel like their voice matters and what they do counts, you know. And if you just show compassion and concern for people, and I don't even talk Republican and Democrat when I talk to people that I know may not have the same political view as me, you know, and I try to find common ground. And before you know it, we're both agreeing about the same thing. You know, so for that, I pass it on over to Dan, and hopefully sometime soon we'll see what we can do to maybe get Anita Moncrief to come on the show, talk about some of the things that she's doing with the Black Conservative Fund. With that, I'll pass it on to you, Dan.
Oh, definitely. We need to get her on and show her, you know, show the public that, you know, our eyes are really red, white, and blue. And that's all we see. Either you are an American or you're not. You know, you're for us or you're not. You know, the president is doing his best to try to paint us out as racist when, you know, our party is the least racist of them all. And this is something we need to really, really push, is to show people that, you know, I don't care what color you are. I care what you know, what's in your heart and what you think, you know, politically. And, you know, even if I don't agree with you on the political end, you know, as long as you have a pure heart That's all I care for, you know. It's, you know, after that, it really doesn't matter. And we have to keep on pressing that and showing that we open our arms to everybody. We don't close if we don't agree with you. You know, we believe that what it takes is, you know, information from everybody for us to form the perfect union. And that's what's important. It's not turning around saying, well, I believe this and I'm going to push it on you. Or I don't, you know, you're of a different race, so I'm pushing you over to the side. This is, we're all in this together. And we need to unite the fight and to show the world how we all can get together and we all can work together without somebody, you know, a POTUS who is turning around trying to create fights amongst us. Because that's not where we are as a nation. In fact, before Obama, we are closer as a nation than we have in all, you know, in history. And it was only getting better. And he has put us back 20 years. And this is something that we need to fight against and show that we are not the people they think we are. And the other thing is that as politicians, you know, we have to turn it around and let the people know that, you know, they often come in and ask you, what, you know, are you against abortion or are you pro or against abortion? And my first answer all the time is, if I was, you know, running for office, I would say I'm going to represent my constituents. And that's what I'm going to present to Congress. And it is, you know, if I was going like for president, it's like, it's not my opinion that counts. It's people's opinion that counts. Because this is a nation of the people, by the people, for the people. And if we have our, you know, religious beliefs back, you know, our belief in Christianity, and, you know, what our founding fathers formed this nation on. I mean, if regardless of what they like to say in Washington, this is a Judeo-Christian country. It always has been. It always will be. And, you know something, if we just get that idea through their head, then the abortion issue solves itself. Because if you're a true Christian and you believe in God, then you're going to make the right decision. You know, if you're a true Christian, when it comes to race, again, you're going to make the right decision. Then all of a sudden, these debates that the left is trying to get us in go away. And that's the important thing, is that, you know, that's why the first thing I try to, I'm fighting for, is the return of God into our country. Because we can't solve a darn thing until we do that. Because right now, if you believe in abortion, obviously your faith in God has been diminished. And, or if you believe in Christian beliefs or Jewish beliefs have been undermined by the propaganda and crap that's come out from the left. And if we allow our, if we bring our religion back in first and, you know, take a look at that dollar bill and our currency, and it says, "In God we trust," that alone will turn the tides of the rest. And this is why I don't even like to talk about them. You hear, you rarely hear me talk about the abortion or gay rights. Because I believe until right now, what is it, 60-some percent believe in pro-choice. And it's about the same with gay rights. So until we turn the corner and get God back in our country and back in the center of our nation, then we're never going to win the argument. So why enter into an argument you cannot win? There's a time and a place for each argument. You know, one thing I was taught when I was taught how to debate was to choose the right time to attack a given issue. And right now, it's not the right time to attack either one of those issues. And I get sometimes into arguments with, you know, the what I call Bible thumpers that, you know, they refuse to listen to anything else. And the other thing I believe is keep an open mind. Listen to people. Understand them. Because if you can put yourself in their mind, then you can turn their beliefs around. And it can't be done quickly. It has to be done slowly. And just like it's the, you know, Roe versus Wade to where we are today, gay rights, the civil, you know, march movement, all of this took time. Right, what you need to do right now is plant the seeds. But the first seed that we need to plant is God. And then from there we'll build, you know, we can build and we can bring the country back. You know, all of us would like to have all this right away. But it took, you know, the Democrats nearly 100 years for the progressive movement to get from where they started to where they are today. And we, you know, we have a head start. So, but we can't expect it to happen today. So what we have to do is start building it up through hiring, you know, through voting in conservatives, getting the people we want to represent us back in office so we can change what has happened in Washington and we can get things back on an even keel. With that, Scott, I'll pass it over to you.
Well, and exactly, and we've, you know, we've had a great show. We're running up against the top, so we're going to be a couple of minutes here and shutting off people that are on the internet. We have had a great show. We look forward to many others. Dan, it's so important what we do. And, of course, we keep you in our prayers, especially down there in the second state for business, Florida. with your health and everything that goes on down there. And appreciate everything Jennifer does and Dan does behind the scenes. Jennifer oftentimes is getting us some of these guests. She works hard behind the scenes doing that. We want to give a great big shout out. We're going to be downloading some other music. I didn't get a chance, Dan. This week has been so busy. So I guess we'll just have to do with what we've got. And, I just can't help myself. And you know how it goes. Everybody get your clappers ready because I'm deep in the heart of Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. Sage in bloom is like perfume deep in the heart of Texas. Reminds me of the one I love deep in the heart of Texas. Deep in the heart of Texas, the rabbits rush around the brush. Deep in the heart of Texas, the cowboys cry, "Ki-yip-pi-yi!" Deep in the heart of Texas, the doggies bawl. Texas, deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeehaw!